Open your Bibles, please, for our first reading to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she had judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? Or what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, my commitment as I was reviewing this passage over this last week was not to go too far in the reading, but to try to keep it to a particular amount of time. So let's take a look at verses 1 through 3 first. Notice our author introduces faith not by really a definition, but by what faith does. This is a very common procedure in Scripture. Over and again we see this. What is faith? And the Bible answers that question often by speaking of what we would call the reflex action of faith. Over and again we see this. When we were studying justifying faith last year, I did look it up. I think it was 17 sermons on justifying faith. And we looked at the fact that we chose as our first text Luke 17. Because in Luke 17, Jesus speaks to them about forgiveness. They recognize, that is his disciples, how impossible that is. And what they say is not increase our level or practice of forgiveness. They say increase our faith. And they say increase our faith because they understand, like the rest of the Bible understands, that often when we speak about faith in Scripture, we're not out to define it. We're out to show its reflex. We're out to show what it brings, what it does, what it builds. This is important because, as we will see, Lord willing, during this morning's sermon, there are counterfeits. There are counterfeits to true faith. So what does faith do? What is the action of faith here? First of all, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives reality to what God has said. God can say it, you cannot believe it. But it is indeed a supernatural faith that gives real being in your consideration to the things that God has said. God has said that he will judge the world. To the faithful person, to the faithful Christian, that phrase has reality. It has being. It has substance, such that, the illustration that comes to mind is if you're out driving and you're on a road and it's back where we were, where we came from in the Antelope Valley and in the Mojave Desert, there are these things that appear out in the middle of the desert. It's a flat landscape, except every now and then there are these buttes that rise up. And so you'll see this straight road, and you're thinking, Well, that straight road is heading right for a butte. Well, by the time you get there, you realize that the road is going to go around it. You know, you see the curve in the road. It goes around the butte, and then it continues on in its straight course. In other words, there's some reality. There's some being to that butte such that you don't just think you can drive through it. Well, the same is true with regard to what God has said. These are things not yet seen, and yet they have being. They actually affect our direction today because they have being. They're real. They're true. It's the substance of what we hope for. It's the evidence of what we don't see. It is so very difficult to get human beings to get off of the incomplete notion that seeing is believing. No, it's not necessarily so. Your eyes will deceive you. And what you don't see is bigger than what you do. My dear brothers and sisters, will you live according to the propositions of Scripture as that which has being and substance? That's what the writer is trying to get us to think about here. Faith is the being ground, that which stands under that which we hope for, gives it foundation and reality. And it's the proof of that which we don't as yet see, but are certainly convinced that we will. That's what faith is. Notice it's not what faith is, it's more like what faith does. And God, knowing our psychology, knows that we need to have it described to us exactly like that. There's something more than simple assent to propositions. There is being. There is substance that changes your direction. You can say the butte is there all you want, but when you crash your car into it, you prove that you didn't believe it. You thought it was a mirage. All right, so we move on then. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. They were commended because of their faith. Notice they weren't commended because they did this or that. Because all that they did rose up out of their faith. It is by faith that they have the good report. All the stuff that he's going to talk about here a little bit later on in the chapter, notice it's a part of that good report, but it rises out of faith. So through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. When you talk about how we know things, you know, the great big word for that is epistemology. How we know what we know. What counts for truth? What counts for proof? What counts for reality? What is a justified true belief, is how the ethicists put it. How does that work? Notice, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You begin to recognize how difficult it is to prove, and I put that word in quotations, how difficult it is to prove something that has happened in the past. You take testimony, and yet the testimonies often conflict. It's hard to get to the facts. We flatter ourselves to think we can. We say seeing is believing. When was the last time you saw history? Who was there to give testimony when the world was created? Who was there? The one who created it has given testimony. And so through faith we understand. Through faith we have this mental apprehension. Again, that reflex action of faith. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. That they didn't come out of things. That they didn't rise up spontaneously. That they don't have a being of themselves. These are very, very large principles, aren't they? And very helpful for meditation. All right, so that's the first three verses then. Notice then we're going to see a lot of things that go on in verses 4 through 12 by faith. The writer is very careful to say that these things were done by faith. There are many things that are perhaps not done by faith in the world. But the things that are done by faith are things that those things by which these men have received and women have received a good report. And so what did Abel do? He offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And so Abel continues to speak about the relationship between being justified or being righteous by faith alone. Enoch was translated. He had this testimony that he pleased God. Oh, well, that means that he was a good person, right? No, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice again, we're informing faith there. So then we move on to Noah. And notice that Noah is called an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And he was warned of God of things not yet seen. Notice how Noah changed his direction because of faith. He built a boat. He built a boat that had not the waters rose would never have made it to the water. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's not think that that was original with Abraham. No, we hear that Noah was righteous by faith. Then we see several things with regard to Abraham. He was called to go out to a place which he should receive after for an inheritance, not knowing where he went, never having seen it. Again, taking hold of that which is unseen. He sojourned in the land of promise, not ever seeing that promise come to fruition. It was a strange country to him. And he bequeathed that same faith to his son and his grandson, Isaac and Jacob. Sarah also herself received strength to bear seed, being past age, by faith. Now let's make sure we get this right, because certain folks have perverted that understanding. Oh, well, if Sarah... if you just have enough faith, then you can have the miracle, right? If you just have enough faith. Well, let's remember how much faith Sarah had. When she first heard the promise, what did she do? She snickered, didn't she? She snickered in unbelief. Yet the writer here says that she had faith. There was indeed a modicum, a little bit of faith there. Hoping, if you will, against hope. And so notice that her faith cannot be commended. It's not the magnitude of her faith that was responsible for her being able to bear seed. No, what is being said here is that God does not fulfill promises to those who don't believe them. There is the necessity of faith in order to receive those promises, but the strength of faith and the magnitude of faith, that's not what's in view here. So then, notice also that therefore sprang even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore. So we see then this resting upon the promises of God, them taking up being within your minds. These are the true things. These are the real things of the world, because God has said them. All right, so then in verses 13 through 16, we notice the duration of proper faith. The duration. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Notice that their faith and the exercise of it and the continuance of it, the duration of it, was not contingent on them receiving anything from God. They simply believed him. They believed him without receiving those promises. They believed him never receiving them. Yet their faith never went away, even though they received them not. They had their eyes again on that which is not seen. The city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And here we learn the most important truth, that Abraham never hoped truly for an earthly establishment of the promise, that it was always a heavenly city that he looked for. And that heavenly city had truth, foundation, being to it. Why? Because God had promised it. And Abraham's not receiving it in this life did not assault that promise one whit, because he believed God. The being, the reality of the promise and all that it entailed was never lost upon Abraham. So then, we move to verses 17 through 31. And we don't have time to take these things up individually. But let's just say several things about this section. We learn about people doing things that don't make any earthly sense. It doesn't make any sense to do what Abraham did, offering up Isaac. Because the promise was centered upon that young man. But notice what saving faith does. It is so secure in the promises of God, in the Word of God, that it works out solutions. Abraham told the young man what? I and the lad will go worship, and we will return. We will return. And the writer here simply draws what is implicit in the text and makes it explicit. Abraham knew that Isaac would be raised from the dead. There wasn't a doubt in his mind, because God said it would be through Isaac that his seed would be called. That's what saving faith does. May I say, that's uncommon in our day. It's uncommon. We don't work out ways to believe. We work out ways to doubt and to fail. Let us take Abraham and the others here as examples of what our faith is supposed to be, and turn away from the cheap imitations. So then we have Joseph. You will return to the land of promise. Take my bones when you do. Moses counted the reproach of Christ. Christ is in the text. That's right. Christ. Moses, having his eyes upon Christ in faith, turned away from the riches of Egypt. He saw him who was invisible. So he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood. They passed through the Red Sea. It's interesting, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. When you recognize who that's being spoken of, really, whose faith was it that brought them through the Red Sea? Well, they followed Moses. And that's why Paul will tell us in 1 Corinthians 10 that they were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It was indeed the strength of Moses and his faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. Why? Because they believed? Is that why the walls of Jericho fell down? Well, no, it was obviously the mighty power of God that brought down the walls of Jericho. But would God bring it down apart from their faith? That's the point that's being made here. Oh, how important are these descriptions, that reflex action of faith, and how necessary they are. How necessary this reflex action is. So time would fail me, it already has, to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. He feels the pressure too, I suppose. He gives these names and the rest of them above to inspire us to emulation of these faithful characters in Scripture, encouraging us to pray the Lord to increase our faith as well. And what did they do? Let's be reminded of that. They subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of aliens, women received their dead to life again. Those are, well, we call them heroic acts, don't we? And yet, the writer turns us away from the acts of these heroes to the one act, right? To the faith, which is the gift of God. And then finally, we look at the torture. They didn't accept their deliverance. They had their eyes on a better resurrection. They had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, bonds, imprisonment, being stoned, sawn in two, tempted, slain with the sword. If you have your eyes on that which is seen, you cannot weather such things. You will give up. But the world was not worthy of these. Why did they wander in caves? Because the world was not worthy of them. They were not a part of it. Many of them could have had all the riches the world had to offer, but they refused, for they counted the world an unworthy place. They obtained a good report through faith. Now, as we close the chapter, hear the words of the apostle very clearly. They didn't receive the promise because God held it in abeyance, so that we might come with them in the same faith, laying hold on the same promise. These things are also for you, beloved. This faith is the faith that I am to exercise as well. We are not separated from them. We are the same flesh and blood and are, by God's grace, given that same faith. When you think on the heroic acts and you say, I could never do that, don't be so quick to say so. Don't be so forward to say, I could never do that. You know not what faith will generate at the time when you're called upon to give that last full measure of devotion. To Christ, not to country. To Christ. All right. Well, thus ends the reading, Hebrews chapter 11.